There's a lot of question, Raven, about whether President Trump was going to leave President Biden one of those going away messages, you know, like the letter, the note.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You put it on the desk, right? It's some sort of tradition.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. So for as long as I've ever heard, the president that's leaving office always leaves a handwritten note on the desk for the newcoming president. And, you know, Trump didn't do a lot of the traditional things. So there was a lot of questions on whether or not that would actually happen.
Yeah, it's not like a huge thing, right? It's just like a concise, hey, a little bit of advice, couple sentences.
And congratulations in a lot of ways.
Oh, okay.
But I was hoping that they would like take a picture because I'm curious. Like, you're so curious. Like, what does one president write to another,
right.
You know?
And sometimes they share that and sometimes they don't. It's a letter to the successor, if you will.
And
we should write them to ours.
Well, that's what I was thinking about because the White House did not release the contents of the Trump note. All they said is it's a letter between 45 and 46. That's all they said.
Well, you know, here in radio, you know, you never know when your last day is coming. It's not like there's an inauguration.
No.
if we were to be replaced, we'd be removed before we even actually were aware of the process itself.
It's true.
But I mean, so we should take the opportunity to leave something behind, I guess, right?
If you were going to write a note and leave it right there on the counter, the studio, right in front of your microphone.
Yes.
For the person that is taking over your position.
Let me get the pen. I am ready.
All right. What would you write?
I'm going to say, dear, younger, cheaper, more limber version of myself. Take care of this mixer. I have no idea who may have spilled coffee on these sensitive electronics, but I assure you, there is absolutely no proof it was me. Through these doors have entered some of the most gifted broadcasters to grace the industry, and me also, which should remind you, anything is possible. The bridge is yours, and don't call me. I'm sleeping in from now until I die.
That's a nice note to leave somebody.
You like that?
Yeah, I wrote one too to my successor, just in case. I'm going to leave it here for the day that I magically am fired.
Right, and then they
and
show up.
In,
right.
And they show up.
What do you have?
Here we go. To my successor, Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, that's very ambitious of you.
Taking this job is a lot like your early days on In Living Color. It's a lot of work and not a lot of recognition. But at the root of it all, we're fly girls. There will be times when Raven will be loud and not make much sense, but he needs you to be a good partner. Bring Advil and on some days, vodka. Be yourself, open your heart. And take caller number 9.
Right.
Remember, no matter how big you get taking over my show, you are still Jenny from the block. From one fly girl to another, spread your J-Lo wings, project your voice, and let's get loud.
What makes you think that I'm going to be here once you die? Are you looking for an escape route?
Come on. Let's be honest, Raven. You're going to be here forever. Your roadside treasure. The thing that somebody put out on their sidewalk, you drove by and you slammed on the brakes. You're like, wait a minute.
What?
What? Is that free? What did you pick up? 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, you can call or text. Raven and I, a while ago, behind the scenes, were talking about how I have never set off a fire extinguisher before.
Yeah, she's got one of those curiosities, right? So if you've never done something, you see something sitting in the corner lurking there all the time, she looks at it longingly, like she wants to be a firefighter or at least escape an emergency situation.
I just want to know what it feels like to set one off and what happens.
The power in your hands.
Yeah, so right. We were talking about it. Like, and then out of nowhere, I'm driving home from the gym and I see there's a big folding table out in somebody's house and this says free, do not take the table.
Okay.
Which I guess somebody had taken
that
the
sign
table.
More yeah. And more actually now that you mention it because the table is the thing you really want.
Right. I'm like, that folding table's free?
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's 40 bucks.
Yeah.
Boom.
But on top of there, like it was calling my name is a fire extinguisher. And I have never picked up something off the side of the road ever in my life before. Never, ever, ever.
E-brake.
I brake, throw the car in reverse, pull over, put my hazards on. I jump out. I look both ways. I run across the street. I pick it up. It's heavier than I thought it would be. Yeah,
it's a big fire extinguisher.
It's a big fire extinguisher. I put it in the car and I'm all proud of myself. I get home. I run upstairs. Babe, babe. My husband comes out. He's like, "Why?" I go, "I got a fire extinguisher." He goes, "For what?" I go, "I want to set it off." He goes, "Are you insane?" Let's do it outside, please. I've been wanting to do it. I've been talking about it.
Yeah.
So we go outside. He looks at it. He goes, "It's empty, Anna."
What? You didn't look at the gauge.
I didn't know there was a gauge. I didn't know how it worked. I had no idea. So now I'm like, what am I going to do with this fire extinguisher that's completely empty that I have for no reason?
What did you decide?
Well, I put it on my side of the road thinking somebody would take it.
Did you put it on a table?
No, I just put it right in front. Like,
right,
on the
don't
corner.
Risk your table. Don't do it.
But now my neighbors must think I'm crazy because it's been sitting out there for a week and a half and no one's taking the empty fire extinguisher and I don't know how to get rid of it.
You drop it off at the fire department. They'll take it.
Oh, that's what you do?
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, those guys, they're pros.
I'm like, how come the garbage people won't take it? I'm like, what is happening? I put it in the recycle bin.
It can be compressed and all that. I actually got a text message. It's ironic yesterday from a friend who knows that I just replaced my television. And he's following up now 3-4 weeks later. And he's like, so what's up with that TV? Mm-hmm. He tells me that he found a TV on the side by the dumpster in his neighborhood. Remote, power cord, everything. He's like, I hauled this flat screen up into my apartment. Guess what? Doesn't respond to anything. I'm like, well, that's why it was in the trash.
Right.
That's why it was there.
Truthfully, though, one time we got a new TV and we put our old TV out on the curb.
Yeah.
I kid you not, it was gone in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was fine. It was just, I don't know, it was just really old.
Yeah. You know, it's obsolete.
Right. Did you ever pick up anything off the side of the road, your roadside treasure?
So I'm not really a roadside guy, but I did have a roommate. My very first apartment when I lived in Los Angeles, I had a guy, my roommate at the time, we had nothing, like air mattress, you know, TV, VCR cart, and a chest or whatever. And he picked up a couch on the side of the road. And he had like a Camaro. So not only did he pick up the couch by himself, but he put it on the back fin of his car and drove it to the apartment. And we thought it was a great find. We covered it like with canvas and all that stuff. Comes to find out, I'm pretty sure there was like, I don't know, a million cockroaches in there.
Oh, really?
I mean, they were probably in the apartment anyways, but we certainly had roaches after that.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. What's your roadside treasure? The thing that somebody left out on the side of the road. It was their trash, but you're like, nope, that's going home with me. Hi, it's Yen on Raven.
Hi, I found a brand new refrigerator at an apartment building, and due to COVID, they threw it out. It still had the tags on it.
I think you stole that.
Now, if it's on the side of the road, I mean, that's free reign. If it doesn't have a sign on it, I'm guessing there. But here's the thing is, like, you take a major risk, right? So if you pick up something that you can grab by hand by yourself on the side of the road, you know, you take it home. If it doesn't work, no big deal. Refrigerator, I mean, you're not grabbing that by yourself. That's you and a friend and a pickup truck. So you're invested. I'd almost be like running an extension cord off the side of the guy who's throwing it to his house first. I'd be like, oh. Looks good. Okay, now
right.
I'm here for it.
I had a pickup truck and I had two pieces of wood, so I slid it up and brought it to work, and we used it at work.
No kidding. Yeah. He did give it a shove.
I mean, that was getting delivered for an apartment,
and
they
shove.
Were like, "Let me run to the bathroom really quick."
Yeah, but he was the hero at the shop. Hero at the shop.
I sure was.
Right. Ann Raven, what's your roadside treasure?
Good morning. My name is April, and my roadside treasure is an old school sewing machine that I turned into a table.
You found an old school sewing machine, like a Singer on the side of the road, like one of those ones in the wooden
Singer,
case?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh my. I mean,
absolutely.
Even if it doesn't work, that thing's worth a bunch of bucks.
It is. And I had it in my driveway for a couple of weeks, just waiting to drag it in. People have been stopping by my house asking, are you giving that away? Is that trash?
Right.
But it's awesome.
That's a good score there.
I'm a roadside queen, by the way.
I love it. I think I'm going to really start making the laps on the weekends and trying to see what I can pick up.
It's a lot of fun.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your roadside treasure?
Hey, actually, it was my boyfriend of the time. He's now my ex, but he picked up a mattress that someone had left on the side of the road, and it was just so disgusting. He said it was for his guest room, but I just still thought that was really gross.
Anna. If you've got enough money that you've got a guest room, right? The apartment is that large or whatever. Get some more money to get a real mattress.
Or a futon.
Don't ever bring somebody else's mattress into your house.
Yeah, actually, now that I think about it.
I mean, it's going to be sealed in plastic if it's going to be on the side of the road. That is scary.
I took a neighbor's mattress in college.
What?
Yeah, one of the fraternity boys that lived, like, when he graduated, I still had a year left, and he was going to get rid of it, and I was like, oh, I'll take it.
Oh, my God. Well, college, though, your immune system's so high.
It's true. I actually believe that's why I'm immune to everything right now.
Right, because you're just rubbing up against dirt all the time.
Yeah. Now, in retrospect, that was gross, but, I mean, I guess I survived. Hi, it's Yana and Raven. What was your roadside treasure?
Well, it was a kayak. It was a little rundown, but, you know, it's awesome. I love it.
So it floats, is what you're saying.
Right.
Number one, primarily, it doesn't have a hole in it. It floats.
It totally floats, yeah.
Were you nervous the first time you put it in water? Because I would be like, if somebody's throwing out a kayak, clearly there's like a leak or there's a reason why they would throw that away.
Well, I started it in shallow. I thought maybe it fell off somebody's roof and they just kept going. And then it just ended up there. I didn't think somebody like, I don't know. I guess I didn't worry. Maybe I should have. But it was shallow, so it's fine.
I mean, if you jumped into it in the deep ocean, then you could worry about it. You know, coming up to a lake or whatever. You'd have a moment's warning, I think, before you sunk to the bottom of the deep. But I'll tell you why they get rid of it. Space. Mm-hmm. Space and time. They don't have enough of either. Space and time. Bye-bye, kayak.
It's a good score, though, to pick up a kayak. I wish somebody would leave a pontoon on their front yard for me to take. Use one of those. Yesterday, around this time, if you missed it, we were talking about how scream therapy can be very beneficial to ease anxiety. It's so good for you that there was a phone number that was created that you could just call and scream. It was called Scream, just scream.baby, Santa and Raven. Well, here's the bad news, Raven.
What?
That number went out of service yesterday after recording 70,000 people that called just to scream.
I'm confused here. Mm-hmm. All right. Did we get the timing wrong? Did we expose this story at the last minute or did it crash after because people were talking about this scream line? What happened? Or did somebody just not pay a bill?
Well, the scream line had been going on through November and you could listen to all the screams at justscream.baby. This is what it sounded like. If you just want to hear people screaming, that's kind of where you just go.
Right. It's not just kids. There are adults in there, too.
There's a ton of adults.
I know what must have happened. The inauguration happened, and nobody has any reason to scream anymore.
Is it sober? I don't know.
Everything's solved.
Oh,
isn't that what's going to happen?
Well, here's the thing, is that we realize that this going away is a problem because people need a way to let it all out, especially after everything that's been going on over the last year.
You got to express yourself, man, somewhere. You got to have a safe place.
And we realized after the show was over that we need to do something, but we didn't want to just make another scream line because, I mean, we're not copycats. We're better than that, right?
I'd like to hope so.
Yeah. So we did some research and we found out that if you sing, it has a lot of the same mental health benefits as screaming.
Doesn't everybody sing in the car? You have to. Nobody can hear you. You sound perfect. I sound just like him.
Right. It improves your mood. It's a stress reliever. It improves your sleep, like singing at the top of your lungs. And like Raven said, a lot of people do it in the car. Also, it relieves pain. Did you know that singing relieves pain? If you're actually physically hurt, you're supposed to just start singing. So you got a kidney stone? Just belt it out.
Yeah, I'll try that next time instead of cursing and screaming.
Right, exactly.
I'll try that.
So we created the sing-along line, which is it's a phone number that you can call at any time and just sing your heart out. The number is 833-431-0905. Again, that's 833-431-0905. And when you call, you'll hear us say this. Hello, and welcome to Anna and Raven's sing-along line.
Stressed out, we invite you to sing here.
No one listening to you, you know, like ever. Go ahead, sing.
Thought you could win Idol or The Voice, just belt it out right here.
Just feel like singing along to the radio and you want the whole world to hear it? You guessed it, sing your heart out.
Just wait for the beep. Wait. Wait. Wait.
Now!
Okay.
And then in theory, it'll beep and you can leave your message of you singing.
Yeah, I think it's easy. You make the phone call while you're in the car. You've got the backing band behind you.
Yeah.
Boom. Deliver the goods.
And then we'll air back all your beautiful singing. And not only that, it'll improve your posture and increase your lung capacity.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It does a lot. Again, the sing-along line, 833-431-0905. It's Anna and Raven.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, today is National Hugging Day. Remember when we were allowed to hug people?
Yeah. Wow. Forever ago.
It was a long time ago.
Right, just a stranger, everything. Are you more of a hugger or a handshake person in normal times?
I don't like to hug, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, like, obviously my family, my
husband,
my kids.
Are you not good at it?
It's not that I'm not good at it. I don't know. I don't like people invading my personal space too much.
Sure. Was it always like that? Or is it something that you developed kind of as you got older?
Oddly, the older I get, the more cool I am with it. I think I've become more emotional as I get older. So I'm like more into the hug. Whereas when I was younger, I was kind of really standoffish.
Okay.
But there's different kinds of huggers. And there's some huggers that are awesome. And then there's certain kind of people. That's all I need to know about you.
Is this backed up by facts or is this your personal, you know, opinions that you've come up with and now you've formulated to discuss?
This is my own opinion that I've formulated that is also science now.
So tell me who does it right and tell me who does it wrong.
Well, here's a different kind of huggers. The one arm hug, that's the one that you don't really want to do the hug, but you have to do it.
It's kind of like a daps.
Yeah.
You just kind of wrap it around them for a minute. You're like, boom, boom. All right, kid.
One arm. Yep.
All right, kid. Good job.
They're fine. Like, sure. Number two, the bear hug. I love a good bear hug from someone you love. When they just embrace you so tight and they grab you. It's so nice.
So what's the point of that? Like, I mean, you know, you can have a long, good embrace with somebody that you know well, but the bear hug is almost like it's aggressive. Like, you're trying to hurt me. Are you trying to crunch me?
No, there's one person that I know that he gives the best bear hugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever you do it, you just have to smile. It's a good bear hug.
Okay.
Then there's the under hug, and that's when they come up underneath your armpits and they almost pick you up as you hug.
Yeah.
And that one always makes me giggle. Unless it's somebody I don't know, then I feel like I'm being assaulted.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Kidnapped. Right. They're getting ready to run out the door with you.
But the all I need to know about you is the lurker hugger. The person that you don't know that well, and they go in for the hug, and they hold on for like 2 seconds too long, and you feel them smelling you, and you're like, that's all I need to know about you.
I guarantee we're thinking of the same person right now, but I'm not going to say that name out loud. I guarantee we are thinking of the exact same person right now at that moment.
That's all I need to know about
maybe,
you.
If maybe
you
hold a supple on, kiss while you do that, right.
If you hold on for 2 seconds too long, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah. I get that, right. That one's, and then there, you know what one is weird too is the one that, okay, we're a male and female or we're two guys and we're going to, I don't know if girls do this too because I'm obviously I'm a guy, so I only know from my side, but the we're going to hug, but our lower bodies are so far apart because we're so afraid like they might get close to each other. Like, oh my gosh,
that's
if we had denim on denim contact, like there could be some sort of terrible problem that would arise,
there's
right?
Definitely a bro hug. A bro hug is almost like when you lean in and you kind of just.
That's the, it's the kind of like the dap back. One arm one too, though.
Yeah, one's all right.
I'm talking like you're going to give somebody a real hug and for some reason your pelvis is like 12 inches past where your head is. It's behind it. You're like, oh, don't let me get near them with my lower body.
It's definitely all I need to know about you. Yesterday, there was a peaceful transfer of power. It's Anna and Raven. But you know who else does transfer of power? Animals. And I know this sounds crazy, but it's fascinating.
Look at you. You have gone into an animal vortex over the last couple of days. I mean, how have you not been stuck on your couch watching Discovery Channel before? I love this. I'll do it all day.
Yeah, so animals live in groups, too, and there's hierarchy. There's the leader of the packs, but how is that determined, and what happens when there has to be a transfer of power? How does it work? I mean, obviously, Lady Gaga doesn't sing and Tom Hanks doesn't host like a star-studded event when a hyena becomes president.
Of course not. But dominance does play a role, right? I mean, at least in the original leaders, they got to be in charge because they can literally eat everybody else.
Exactly. So let's start with chimpanzees. Okay, chimpanzees, they're actually a lot like us. They build a coalition, kind of like a political party. So what you'll do is you'll see one male. He'll start to groom the others more and kind of make friends with them, make allies with them. And then one day, by brute force, he'll go after the alpha male.
Right.
And most of the time, that group that he has built up will back him on it.
Yeah, so he gets a bunch of players behind him. He gets his posse, his entourage.
Yes.
And then he rips the arms off the other chimpanzee.
Well, most of the time, at that point, when the alpha has realized that the coalition has grown so much, he backs down. Very rarely does it end up in death.
Well, he should get out of there. Because chimps can be violent.
But do you know that chimps actually have like a term, like we have a presidential term, 3 to 5 years is the term for an alpha male chimpanzee.
Well, that's when you're
crazy?
That's when you're in your prime, man.
I guess.
And you can fend off your challengers. Other than that, like you said, best to basically know when your time is up, right?
But next, hyenas.
Hyenas.
Now, hyenas are a lot more like the royal family in England. It's for real.
Wait a minute.
Yes, it's true. It's a female-dominated group. So, like, the female is the head of the hyenas.
Okay.
Now, there's a queen. There's one woman that runs the whole thing.
Of course
one
there would be.
Hyena.
Right, of course.
here we are with the hyena family now, and we see that today would be a transfer of power.
But there's one small change.
What happens?
When the alpha female dies,
yeah,
it's the youngest daughter that assumes her position, and no one contests it in the group.
Not the oldest son? It's the youngest daughter this time.
The youngest daughter.
Oh, this is going to change the way I watch The Crown forever now.
Isn't that nuts? But the crazy part is that nobody questions why the baby, like, girl hyena all of a sudden now is the queen of the pack.
Well, youngest, again, going to have a longer prime in front of him, maybe something like that, right? It's all about hunting. When you're in the wild, you got to survive.
But then there's the clownfish.
Okay, clownfish.
I'm not sure.
I have any
clownfish sound effects.
Yeah, I don't have any water. Beach. There's a dolphin.
Good. No, clownfish is like Nemo, like Finding Nemo.
Yes,
like,
I realize they're not the same. That's what I have from the ocean.
Right. Okay. So Nemo does something that's crazy nature. You ready for this?
Okay.
Follow along with me.
Yes.
The female that's the largest fish within the group.
Okay.
She's the leader. But when she dies, the largest male in the group changes sex to become the new breeding female.
What?
It's a transition of power that's built into their biological code, and it's irreversible.
I mean, people will do anything to be in charge.
Can you imagine?
No.
That's crazy.
Because I'm human, and it's not possible. But
but nowhere at that point does Lady Gaga sing. At no point. None of it.
It's too bad, though. It's a shame.
Mm-hmm. One $730 million Powerball ticket was sold in Maryland last night.
Ooh, get that money.
But if it's not you, you don't have to worry. You got one other shot because tomorrow night Mega Millions is about $1 billion.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, even when they reset, nobody's kicking $20 million out of bed or anything like that either, right? So
yeah, it's actually good. $970 million, but I feel like at this point we can say $1 billion.
Right, yeah, I think it'll get there by then, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's Anna and Raven. But I am not a big lottery person, but my family is
dedicated.
It's like they were born for the lottery, born for it.
Born to win, born to play. How often do they win?
Well, my mom, I mean, not a lot. Like, obviously, we're clearly not millionaires.
Right, I mean, you're
like
still here.
Yeah, but she hits like $1,000 here and there. She does pretty well. She plays consistently, though. But there's a major difference. My husband likes to play. My mom likes to play. I don't. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between me and them. I never truly believe that I'm going to win.
Right.
my heart of hearts,
right.
I'm never going to win the lottery.
Right.
They believe it to their core.
Right.
My mom says it all the time. It's only a matter of time, and then you'll be all set. Mommy will give you the money, and you'll be okay. And she truly believes that, and so does my husband.
I love the fact that your entire family gets together and has, like, prayer circles every time the jackpot gets really, really high and says, this is our time.
It's true. There's prayer circles.
I do believe that you have to believe you're going to win things. I believe that is a big part of it, is that, you know, positive thinking is a big part of it. But
sure, but, like, $1 billion? Like, she believes that she's going to be, like, when I said it to my husband jokingly, what are we going to do with this $1 billion?
Yeah.
Like, he pulled up an Excel spreadsheet.
Right. He already knows. He's got the first $300 million of it sold already.
But that's a big thing.
He knows
with my
what he's
family.
Buying.
The prayers, like, they have prayer circles where they will, like, join hands and they will pray to the lottery gods.
I mean, everybody is praying, right? Everybody is doing the same thing.
Anna, did you say the prayers? No, Ma. I didn't pray to the lottery gods.
Okay, well, you don't get anything.
Well, if we don't win, you'll know why.
Right.
Do you have any lottery superstitions?
Well, I mean, I've got some basic ones, right? So I buy them at all the strange stores. Like, I don't buy them at my regular stores because I never hear of anybody going, I won at my regular stores. So, like, I always, you know, when I read about somebody winning near me, I'm like, I know where that store is. And then I say to myself, I've got to buy at those weird stores again moving ahead. It's always quick picks and it's always single tickets because they always say that that's got a higher percentage of winning.
Is that real?
It is true. And that's what they say. That's what the lottery
Who's
says.
They? The lottery people?
The lottery people. Yeah. Yeah.
You got to get single. You can't get them all on one ticket.
I'm telling you, lady, Google it. All right. They tell you it's a thing.
And
killing
trees.
That's what I do. And then if I choose my family's like special dates, I never do the ones where you fill it out. I know some people play their dates.
Yeah.
I never do that because then if we lose, then I've got to hate your birthday the rest of my life.
Okay.
And that doesn't seem like a good way to be in your family, right?
No.
No.
whenever I see the low numbers come out, I always think to myself, somebody had to win because these are birthdays.
Right. You think of somebody's birthdays. But yesterday was a bunch of stuff in the 50s or whatever.
Yeah. So who knows? We'll see. What is your lottery superstition? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. You can call or text. Tomorrow night, Mega Millions is almost $1 billion.
Right.
$1,970,000,000.
So you got to do whatever it takes to win. You know what I don't do, Anna?
What?
I never watch the numbers pulled live. And I never check them that night. I check them the next day because I'm like, it's no big deal if I'm a billionaire now. I think that means that Jesus is going to help me win, but it hasn't worked yet.
Right. I actually think it's because you can't stay up that late to watch them, because I've tried to stay up that late. And most of the time I fall asleep with like the remote control in my hand, like just 5 more minutes. You can make it.
You know what I've been doing this week is I'm promising everybody a gift. The cashiers, everybody. I think about how many people must promise them something every day if they sell in the winter. This time, everybody's getting Harleys. I don't know why. I've been offering everybody Harley Davidsons.
You offered me one. I'm like, I don't want a Harley.
Well, that's what you're getting if I win.
Okay. Hi, it's Anna and Raven with your lottery superstition.
My lottery superstition is I take the numbers off the license plates of everybody in the family and play those numbers.
License plate numbers? Whoa.
Have you ever hit a winner?
Just a few, you know, a few dollars, not much. Not never a big winner, not like I'd like. But I did it again for the one coming up on Friday night, so I did it again. So we'll see.
Well, good luck.
Good luck. Do you even know your license plate number?
I do.
Do you?
Yes.
I don't know mine.
Well, it's got letters.
It's got letters and then numbers.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to play my license plate. Hi, it's Yana and Raven. What's your lottery superstition?
My grandmother used to win the lottery a lot, not a lot of money. And she has this old bowl that's been handed down to the family for years. So I always put my lottery ticket in the secret special bowl from Grandma.
My father had a spot. He had a spot he used to put them. I never even thought about it until you mentioned that.
Maybe you just want to give them, you know, everybody that's upstairs a little heads up. Hey, I played. Can you make something happen down here? I put it in the bowl.
Push the numbers for me. Push them.
Can't hurt.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your lottery superstition?
So when I pick the numbers, they all have to be multiples of 12 or 12 reverse. So like 12, 21, 24. It just has to be one of those. And the number 5 is okay, too.
Okay. But do you ever win?
Not yet.
All right.
I mean, right.
Someday I will.
Well, maybe tomorrow night's your night. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your lottery superstition?
I have to sit in the same chair every single time, every time I do my numbers, because the first time I ever did, I won $5,000, and I was sitting in that chair, so I do it every single time.
So that chair, first time you ever checked your numbers, you won $5,000?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, I mean, I'd take that chair. I need that chair.
What does the chair look like?
Right. Can we work this chair into our decor?
It's a nice, comfy chair.
Like a lazy boy?
You know, it's like a wing back, velvet kind of wing back chair.
Never change the decor, I guess, in your house. Never.
Imagine if somebody steals the chair. Then what? It's like if somebody steals like one of the, like in the movies when they steal something from the museum and then it comes back to haunt them, and it's like, it's, I don't know.
If
I don't know.
If you believe in that type of thing.
I don't know
why. If
I'm
steal it,
this.
It's mine. The riches are mine then.
A new survey shows that 73% of adults have no idea what their organs do.
Okay.
Do you know that we have 78 organs in our body?
I didn't know the count. I think I know what some of the big ones do. I guarantee I don't know what all of them do.
It's Anna and Raven. I don't think I know what any of them do. Like, I know we have them, but like what their actual function is,
yeah.
No clue.
Okay.
Producer Sean is here. We're going to play What's That Organ?
Oh, I love it.
Okay. We each have a way to buzz in.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and rattle off an organ, and whoever rings the bell or squeaks a dog toy first, just tell me what it does.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
All right. What it does. I can do that.
All right. Let's start easy. The liver. Raven?
It rids your body of toxins. It removes the toxins from the things that your body is ingesting for energy.
He's correct.
Oh, come on.
I'm a doctor.
That was an easy one.
I'm a doctor.
All right, next one.
All right. The ileum.
What the?
Anna.
The ileum brings blood to your brain.
Close, but no cigar.
What is it?
What is it?
The ileum is the final section of your small intestine, and it's the main part of your small intestine that absorbs vitamin B12 and bile salts.
That's fake. Nobody knows what that does. Ileum is a made-up organ.
Here's the thing.
What?
If it was up near the head, I would have told him to give it to you because I had no idea.
Okay.
But it's at the end of the small intestine.
All right.
It's the other end of the airplane hangar.
He said no cigar like I was close. It wasn't even remotely close. What are you talking about?
Yeah, don't slam the door on her so hard, producer Sean. Jeez.
Okay. the pancreas? Anna.
It creates insulin.
that's another pretty close one. It does break down sugars and fats and starches to create energy for your body.
Give it to me.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
All right, okay.
It's one of the things it does.
Okay, we're tied at one.
Of the other things it does too. I think it does a lot. So good. All right, good job.
All right, the parathyroid. Anna.
It makes you fat if you have a bad thyroid. Definitely makes you fat.
He said parathyroid.
That's the one that makes
you
fat.
Is that what it does? That's not what it does.
What does it do?
It does not.
Aw.
Does it do anything?
The parathyroid creates and breaks down calcium for the bloodstream so it flows through your body more evenly.
All I know is that every time I'm on a diet.
Yeah. You blame a thyroid.
I blame my thyroid and I get it checked.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you that one.
Oh, come on. All right. Next one, Sean.
All right. The cerebellum.
Oh,
Anna.
The cerebellum has to do with your brain. It's a brain function.
What does it do? No.
It translates the information from the earth into your brain.
I'll give it to her.
Yes!
That was close.
Yes!
No! What does it do?
It does just that. It sends the signals from your brain to your body.
From the earth.
Functions. From the earth, I guess, yes.
Ridiculous.
I win!
No.
I think I won.
Is that it?
All right, we'll do one more, but I'm pretty sure I'm the winner at this point.
All right, this one's going to be a weird one and a hard one.
I threw my noisemaker. I'm so mad because of the lab. I threw it. All right. All right, here we go. Thank you, John.
All right. The epiglottis.
Oh.
Anna.
That is skin. So it does something with your skin. It's magic skin. It makes you have, regenerates your skin like magic skin.
Raven, I'll give you a chance to steal this.
It's at the back of your brain stem, and if it's overactive, you could be angry. Like it was that alligator and that water boy joke that Adam Sandler did?
Nope.
The epiglottis is a small flap that either closes when you're eating so you don't swallow food into your lungs, or closes when you're breathing so air doesn't go into your stomach.
Okay, here's what we've learned today. I am so smart.
No.
I know so much when it comes to organs.
No.
I actually should have been a doctor.
I feel like all you know, you see like a map and it's like the front of a pain medication. And you point to where an organ is, but you don't know what it's doing.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you decide who's right. Cameron and Danielle. Danielle, what's going on?
I have just started implementing my resolutions of losing weight this year. And I cook for our family. So I've been cooking this up to be healthy. And Cameron says he's starving and he's ordering all this pizza and takeout late at night. I wanted to do this together. I thought we were doing it together, but he just doesn't want to lose weight, I guess. He doesn't want to do it.
Well, you can't force him to lose weight if he doesn't want to lose weight. Cameron, is that true? You don't want to lose weight? Do you need to lose weight?
I mean, guess? Did you make a deal before him?
Yeah.
That'd be the big question. Should you just spring this on you, or did you guys talk about it?
Well, no, this is all Danielle's resolution. She really wanted to do this, and that's great. But I love pizza. I just, after a while of having, like, grilled chicken and steamed vegetables, you know, 5 nights a week, it's like, okay, after a week of that, it's like, okay, I'm done. I need my Chinese food. I'm fine. I'm happy with who I am right now. I just feel like it's kind of getting pushed on me, and I don't think it's fair.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, you have to understand that if this is something that she wants to do, even if you're not going to do it for yourself, if she wants to do it for herself and the family, like if you're bringing this stuff in every day, I can't even imagine how the kids react when you're showing up with takeout and she's trying to feed them healthy. Like that would be chaos, I think.
because they want the pizza. I mean, I support her. I mean, I'm not trying to deliberately get in the way of her goals. Mm. I mean, that's not really what's happening. It's just that I have to,
it seems
like, I'm not
gluttonous.
On the same path that she is. What?
It just seems a little gluttonous. I mean, and you're teaching our kids these things too.
Right, it is divisive, right? I mean, if the two of you are going in different directions, I mean, it's one thing for the kids, but on the other hand, like if I was trying to do something, you put it in my face every day. Oh, resentment is going to rack right up.
But you, Danielle, you wouldn't make some things also that he would like to eat. I try to eat healthy and I cook things that the rest of my family will eat, but I try to avoid, like the carbs and all that. You don't want to give in a little bit on
two meals every night?
I mean, yes, of course I do. I made a pasta primavera. He was just like, what is this? There are vegetables in my spaghetti. Like,
Because it was like the gluten. It was like that gluten-free pasta made out of like, you know. I mean, it wasn't pasta. It was like a mush.
Mm.
You're being a baby. I think you're just being a baby about it.
I see both sides of this because when you're trying to be healthy, you really need the people you live with to be on board with you and to help you out. But if he's really not on board and he doesn't want to lose weight, then why should he be the one being deprived too? It's a tough spot to be in. Maybe Cameron's right. Danielle isn't being fair.
I mean, if he wants to start cooking, I guess that's one thing.
I don't know. I'm looking over the text line. People are pretty divided on this. So it's a New Year's resolution. I think a lot of us have it. I know I do. It's my New Year's resolution every year is to lose weight and to be healthier. So Cameron is Danielle's husband. He doesn't want to lose weight. He thinks this is dumb. If she wants to lose weight, Danielle, she can do it on her own. But Danielle cooks every day. So what does she cook? Healthy options. She's trying to get the whole family to be healthier. And he's derailing that by ordering Chinese and takeout and giving it to the kids.
Well, you're two people. I mean, you're raising kids together, right? So one person doesn't get to make the unilateral decisions. Now, if you're weighing one person's unilateral decisions versus the other, then the healthy choice is obviously the better one. And any person, any professional, anybody with any experience whatsoever will tell you that if you're telling your kids opposite things, that's going to lead to problems. So, I mean, even whether or not I believe in the diet or not, the fact is that bringing it home is it's a bit chaotic.
Let's check the text line. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Today is a tough argument. If my husband wants to eat cauliflower pizza crust, there's no way that I'm ever going to eat that. Maybe they should do something where every other night they cook what he likes, but try to do it healthy. You know, it's funny, Raven, because last night your wife, Alicia, now Alicia is very much into healthy cooking, Raven's wife, and she posted that she created a healthy Chinese. Didn't she make orange chicken for you in the crock pot last night?
Orange chicken last night, and I ate like 2 pounds of broccoli.
That's the whole thing is like, what if she's trying to eat healthy and all of a sudden you're ordering takeout, ordering Chinese and you're ordering like all that? You think that would fly in your house?
I would never, ever, ever do that. I mean, just out of respect, I wouldn't do it. I mean, if I was going to eat like that, I'd just eat it when nobody's paying attention.
You know, it's a tough thing when you have New Year's resolutions because you want everybody in your family to be on board. You want everyone to help you out. You want to succeed. But what do you do if your husband is purposely derailing that? It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Danielle has said that this is the year that she is going to lose weight. So she has started eating really healthy and creating really healthy meals. Her husband, Cameron, doesn't want to lose weight. He says he's fine the way he is. And he has gone so far to ordering pizza and Chinese at night and like overstepping her chicken and vegetables.
Yeah, I mean, but again, kids in the room, kids there seeing this go on, this inner turmoil going on. Imagine preparing a meal. Having it all laid out, the plates are on the table or whatever, and the doorbell rings, and here comes fast food? No way! I'm dropping a hammer on you.
Right, but is she...
I would crush you!
But is she being kind of like over the top, where she's forcing the rest of her family to be this really clean eating when, you know, they're perfectly fine the way they are? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999.
Her side, I think that he can maybe find other times to eat those foods, but I think she needs to start making some recipes and trying them out, really trying to find good Italian and Chinese recipes to make for the family.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole thing is about being healthy, right? So, I mean, what he's upset about is eating vegetables and chicken every single day.
No, but I cook healthy for my family, and I make Chinese and pizza once in a while, and good Chinese and pizza.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I think she sounds a little crazy. If she wants to do her own New Year's resolution, he should totally support her. But her expecting the whole family to jump on board, I think is too much.
I don't know. If the mom of the family, the one who's cooking the meal, says something, and then he's bringing home takeout every night, I mean, I support his ability to make his own decisions, obviously. But you have kids, and you're just confusing them. You're just creating a problem.
Why can't he just do what my husband does? Wait till I go to sleep and then eat everything in the fridge.
Right, then nobody's watching. There's no witnesses. Forget it.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I guess I'm kind of on his side. I think that when you're trying to get healthier or trying to lose weight, it's not about just eating crap that you're not going to eat for the rest of your life. You have to have a healthy diet plan that's going to be part of your life forever. Not just like eat gluten-free food and low-fat food for a week. It has to be something you're going to live off of. So you need to make small changes that are healthier, not deprive yourself of stuff, because if you do it that way, you're never going to stick with it.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Cameron, our audience agreed with you this morning. Danielle, just because you're on this train to healthy, which, I applaud you. It's certainly not easy, and it definitely takes a village to do it. But you can't expect your husband to give up all the things he loves, especially if he's not in the same place as you. He doesn't want to lose weight. He's not interested. You're going to have to give in a little bit and be a little bit more lenient.
I mean, you know, he eats his own meals at work. Like, I don't understand why we can't just have one family meal together that is healthy.
Well, I don't think the problem is one. I think the problem is all of them.
Right.
And then during the day.
If you make a meal every time, and it sounds fantastic on the surface, but it's replaced with all these different items to make it be, you know, quote unquote, healthier with lower calories or whatever, sometimes it just removes the fun of that. I mean, you got to have balance.
That's exactly what I feel.
You got to have some balance.
You have a problem too? Send an email, couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hey, it's Ann on Raven. Who's this?
Marianne.
Hey, Marianne. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Marianne.
Marianne, we have $1,200 right now for you. Raven is walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. We'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. It's really easy. Whoever gets the most right wins, okay?
Yeah.
Just remember, though, if it's a tie, it goes to Raven. Let's play. Number one, there's been talk of Liam Neeson doing a remake of Naked Gun movies. What athlete/convict co-starred in Naked Gun and played Nordberg?
O.J. Simpson.
Number two, a prequel to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is in the works and will be released in 2023. What were the name of the factory workers at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory?
Oompa Loompa.
Number three, Tom Hanks hosted the Biden inaugural concert last night. In the movie Forrest Gump, which U.S. president does Forrest Gump tell, "I gotta pee"?
Nixon.
Number four, a new study found that making more money can buy happiness. How many quarters are there in $20? Time's up. Number five, Garth Brooks gave a very moving performance at yesterday's inauguration. He topped it off by ignoring social distancing and hugging 3 former presidents, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. What song did he sing?
I don't know.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Marianne only got 2.
Not too good, Marianne. Let's see how I do.
Okay, number one, there's been talk of Liam Neeson doing a remake of the Naked Gun movies. What athlete/convict co-starred in Naked Gun and played Nordberg?
That's O.J.
Yes, O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, a prequel to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is in the works and will be released in 2023.
Oh, why?
What were the name of the factory workers at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory?
The Oompa Loompas, of course.
Yes. Number three, Tom Hanks hosted the Biden inaugural concert last night. In the movie Forrest Gump, which U.S. president does Forrest Gump tell, "I gotta pee"?
I believe he said he had to pee. That's Kennedy.
Kennedy is correct.
Uh-huh.
Number four, a new study found that making more money can buy happiness.
Of course it can.
How many quarters are there in $20?
Quarters in $20. 80.
Yes.
Yes.
And number five, Garth Brooks gave a very moving performance at yesterday's inauguration. He topped it off by ignoring social distancing and hugging 3 former presidents, including Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush.
Feeling the love.
What song did he sing?
Wasn't it Amazing Grace?
Yeah, I didn't think you'd know that either. I thought you'd be asleep. Marianne, I'm sorry. He beat you 5-2 this morning.
This is Marianne, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Marianne. Hold on. We're going to hook you up with an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Better luck next time.